Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, when it comes to the state of health in the United States, it's no secret that African Americans suffer disproportionately from many ailments that are, quite frankly, costing us our lives. Cancer, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, the list goes on. But why do these health disparities exist, and what is being done about them? April is National Minority Health Month, and our guest tonight has been on a quest to address these complex health challenges, especially east of the river in the district. She is Marissa McKeever, Director of Government and Community Affairs for Sibley Memorial Hospital, member of Johns Hopkins Medicine. And the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your concerns about the health disparities that we know exist in our communities and how we can close that gap and maybe some of the challenges you might be facing. Again, the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Marissa McKeever, it goes without saying we know the disparities exist, right? What's being done to close that health gap?
Well, there are a lot of efforts underway right now, and I think it's very exciting, particularly to be a part of Sibley Memorial Hospital and my role there in leading a lot of the efforts, particularly partnerships with communities in Ward 7, in Ward 8, that are focused specifically on how are we addressing health disparities, but not just health disparities, how are we addressing health inequities that exist as well across the district. A lot of that involves partnering with community-based organizations. We focus on three particular priorities at Sibley. These are strategic priorities that we've been engaged in for the past several years to help us identify not just how are we creating access to the high quality clinical care services at Sibley and creating access to those services, but how are we also, one, building programs that are based in communities. These are neighborhood level, place-based opportunities, services, resources, and programs. How are we extending our expertise, our resources, and our services to begin to impact lives, impact outcomes in communities on the East End? We've also been focused on developing those strategic partnerships because what we do know is that there are a range, a network of community-based organizations that have the trust of community, that reach the lives of community members in a direct way on a daily basis. It's important for providers like Sibley to be able to develop those strategic partnerships and be able to access that network of community-based organizations that we would not otherwise be able to do without. And the third thing is really about engagement. It's community engagement. It's listening to the community, and it's understanding what do you need to begin to, for us to do to begin to address issues in your life, your health issues as well. And when you talk about health disparities, you're talking not just about the difference in status between health status of one population versus another population, but in the district in particular, health equity also plays a huge role. And health equity is based on a value that everyone, every person should have the opportunity for a just and fair opportunity to reach their full health potential. But health inequity exists when there are societal barriers that prevent an individual or prevent a community from being able to achieve that full health potential. And we see those societal barriers, they've occurred from historical social injustices, the marginalization of communities of color, as well as structural racism that has existed for decades upon decades. And we see that reflected through poverty, through income inequality. We see it through the lack of access to quality education in our communities. We see it through lack of job and employment opportunities as well. And other socioeconomic challenges. So when we talk about health equity and health disparities in the district, it's recognizing that not all communities experience health care the same. Not all communities experience that quality of care the same as well. And, you know, DC Health just released a health equity report, their 2018 report. And one thing that it highlights is that 20% of health outcomes are driven by clinical care. That means that the other 80% of health outcomes are driven by non-clinical determinants. These are the social and economic barriers that I described earlier. And so for Sibley, when we think about how are we addressing those health disparities, how are we addressing those health inequities, it's not just about our clinical care, but it's how are we investing to advance health equity by investing in those social determinants of health as well.
That's a lot. That's a hard hill to climb, right? But if we broke it down and we show up, we go east of Anacostia and we sit in a meeting, right, with some of those residents who have lost a hospital or receiving adequate care, say in Ward 7 or 8, and they say, Ms. McKeever, I hear everything that you're saying, but if I leave out of this meeting, how do I know what really is being done, right? From a sort of brass tacks down to the road, things that you can tell us that can be done to help us, that we would really understand in its simplest form, or is it not that simple?
It's actually not that simple. It's quite challenging. I mean, you're talking about how do we address issues that have plagued our communities for years. And we're not out here on our own on an island. You know, Sibley is one provider amongst several in the district, but it is particularly an interesting challenge for Sibley, given that we are located in Ward 3. And so from a geographic distance, when we're talking about communities east of the river, we've got to be unique, we've got to be creative, and we've got to be collaborative in how we are partnering with community providers in Ward 7 and in Ward 8 to create partnerships around primary care and specialty care at Sibley. How are we partnering with organizations that are focused on those social needs, whether we're talking about food insecurity, transportation needs, housing? There are so many opportunities for us to begin to impact health disparities, and we've got to create those partnerships simply because of the geographical distance to Sibley. And that's what makes it a super exciting place to be at right now, particularly in this discussion around the lack of health care, lack of access to health care that exists on the East End. And so for Sibley, one of the things that we are particularly working on right now and focused on is strengthening our partnerships with primary care organizations on the East End. What we do know is that there are a range of community providers that are being accessed by community, and those residents need very convenient and easy access to that specialty care as well, whether we're talking
which
about...
Which
many do not have. And it's up to us as the providers in the district to create more ease of access, to create awareness about those services and programs, and to make sure that we are meeting community where they need us the most. And that's why I brought up earlier on the importance of not just services on Sibley's campus, but also expanding our programs and partnering to expand our programs on a neighborhood level to create that access.
Here are some statistics that I think even make the challenge of sort of bringing those disparities closer together or eliminating for a better term. Ward 8 statistics, right? That area of the district has the highest rate of kidney disease, the highest rate of men with prostate cancer, the highest rate of women with breast cancer. And so when I said early on, boy, you have a tough road to hoe there. Is that simply about re-educating, right, that community, or is it about services, a little bit of both, more than just those two things? When we look at statistics like that, does that usually signal a lack of availability of adequate care, or is it a lack of education in terms of the kind of care you would need? How would you assess those numbers?
Well, it's definitely around, one of the things we definitely have to focus on is how are we meeting community where they are? And not community in a broad sense, but how are we meeting individual residents where they are? So for some, it might be that re-education that's necessary. And for some, it might be that access or availability or lack thereof of services in a particular community. But for some, it also might be other issues that are going on that are more important, that have a higher priority for on a personal level to an individual. And so as a provider of care, we have to also think about those other social needs, those other economic needs. And that's where Sibley has been focused most particularly on addressing and listening to community as we think about what are the ways and opportunities that we can begin to close those gaps. We hosted a couple of years ago in 2017, we did a community listening tour in Ward 7 and in Ward 8. We talked to over 100 individuals. We had one-on-one conversations and small group conversations where we asked residents. We talked to seniors, faith leaders. We went to a high school, talked to high school students, parents, community leaders, and we specifically asked, what are your needs? What are your hopes? What are your desires? How do you define health in your community? What does a healthy community look like to you? What does a healthy home look like to you?
What did you hear?
And what we heard is definitely about health and wellness and wanting that access to service availability, but also just as loud, we heard community defining health as those core components of life. We heard about housing, employment, finances, relationships, access to healthy food, overall well-being. We also heard community wanting to be at the center, being an invited participant to be at the center of community change, which is important, particularly when we're talking about DC and the level of economic development that we've seen. When we're talking about access to healthcare services, warehouse services are placed across the district. Being a part and empowered to be a part of that change and having a voice, we heard that a lot through our community conversations. So for Sibley, as we are building our programs on our campus, we are focused not just on the clinical care, but we're also focused on how do we make sure that any patient that comes to our campus or accesses our programs or through our partnerships of programs in Ward 7 and 8, that we're also addressing those other needs that they might have outside of their clinical care journey.
It is National Minority Health Month. Our guest tonight is Marissa McKeever, Director of Government and Community Affairs for Sibley Memorial Hospital, a member of Johns Hopkins Medicine. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines, and Farouk is calling from Southeast D.C. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, thank you very much for this show. I appreciate it. I just want to make a couple of comments and then ask a question. My comment is, as long as healthcare is a for-profit business, then those who have the most resources are always going to get the best services. And we can argue that point, you know, but that's just the way it works, you know. And ultimately, along with that, sickness is a business. So if you got a community of people that are sick, you got a community of people that ultimately become your customer base. And so when you talked about the racism and you talked about how things were never balanced for us as a community of people, especially in Washington, D.C., not only has the health care not been balanced, the healthy food options have not been balanced. So what's being made available to us in Southeast is not healthy. I happen to be a restaurateur. I own vegan restaurants, and that's been my mission, to provide healthy food to the community. So my question goes to, what is it that the hospital is doing with businesses that are helping to keep people out of the hospital, which I know kind of is not really what the hospital maybe really wants, but what is it that we can do to partner with you so that we can get people eating healthy, recognizing that most of the illnesses that we suffer from are either toxicity, nutritional deficiency, or stress related?
Okay.
If we can become partners in that, what can we do? How can we connect up?
Thank you so much, Farouk. Stay on the line. We're going to get to your question. We're going to jump on over to the SiriusXM channel side, but we're going to have Ms. McKeever address that when we come back. If you're on the line, like Farouk, stay right there. And if you're not on the line, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR, National Minority Health Month. We are talking about disparities in communities such as those east of the Anacostia River. 202-319-7810. We're back right after this. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, this month is National Minority Health Month, and tonight we are talking about the disparities that are in communities, especially those of color, and specifically those east of the Anacostia River, and how we can close those disparities and why they exist. Our guest tonight in studio is Marissa McKeever. She's Director of Government and Community Affairs with Sibley Memorial Hospital, a member of Johns Hopkins Medicine. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Marissa, before we jumped over to the Sirius XM side, Farouk, one of our callers called in, and he wanted to know if the hospital, specifically Sibley, or any hospital can do anything and partner with local businesses. He was talking about helping folks eat healthy. I'd really never heard of someone saying, hey, how can businesses such as restaurants partner with hospitals? Is that kind of a suggestion something that Sibley and other hospitals are always sort of looking for new ideas when you're talking about sort of tapping in the community, what they're talking about, how we can partner?
Absolutely. This is one of the key areas that Sibley is actually focusing on right now in terms of partnering with local businesses, particularly in Ward 7 and 8. And we have a program now that's called Ward Infinity. And it is a program where we have partnered and invited residents and nonprofit organizations from Ward 7 and 8 to partner with us around three priority areas, one of which is food access. Outside of that, I am always happy to engage with businesses, engage with other stakeholders, community stakeholders across the district to identify how can Sibley partner with you, how can we begin to address needs in your local community in a different way. And food access to healthy food options is absolutely one of those things that I'd be delighted to have a deeper conversation about.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Farouk, thank you so much for your call and your interesting point, because I really had never thought about that. When we talk about, he brought up racism, and I hadn't brought the issue up yet, but we do know the disparities exist. Is it just a situation of circumstance? Is it a cultural issue? Or are there just historically systemic problems, right, that have caused such disparities that we've talked about and that you've addressed specifically in Ward 7 and 8 in D.C., if we just talk specifically about those areas?
Absolutely. There's a history, not just in D.C., but if you look at communities of color across the nation and go back historically and assess some of the policy as well as societal barriers, et cetera, that has created what is structured racism. And there's been lasting impacts of that. What we see here in D.C., we see it along the lens of poverty. We see it through that income inequality, and that in of itself has created barriers in our communities that do not allow for an individual to achieve their full health potential. And that's the health equity piece that we were talking about earlier.
Ward Infinity, that's something Sibley is doing. Tell us a little bit about that. What is that? What does that mean?
So after Sibley engaged in this community listening tour where we spoke to residents and nonprofits in Ward 7 and 8, we came back and said, well, how are we going to think about investing in those social determinants of health? So we came up with a process, a program, and this is our second year of having Ward Infinity. We engage in a competitive RFP process and invite residents and nonprofits to partner with us as innovators in residence. And over a 5-6 month period, they are working specifically with us on a human-centered design process that will enable us to collaborate to develop creative, innovative, hyper-local neighborhood place-based solutions to these community health challenges that we've been discussing. Ward Infinity is it's community-led. It's an interesting partnership because you have the brand of Sibley and Johns Hopkins Medicine, as well as the expertise of community members themselves who are partnering with us to create innovative solutions to address these issues.
Have you had any pushback as you come into these communities and folks look around and they say, okay, Johns Hopkins, as you mentioned, Sibley is in Ward 3, I'm in Ward 7 and 8. I might be in a different ward in parts of the city where it's difficult to get to Sibley. What can you guys really do for us if you're coming from the other side of the river? Have you gotten some of that of how can we really access you if we need you?
There's definitely been some pushback, natural pushback, though. The questions that you would naturally expect from an organization that's in Ward 3, really talking to community about how do we create that access? How do we partner with you better? But more than pushback, it's been a relationship building process and it's been a trust building process. And I think that's what's most exciting about the community participatory lane that Sibley has invoked as part of its community engagement approach. And through Ward Infinity in particular, I think what's exciting about this approach is not just that it's community driven, but also that we are enabling and providing the tools and resources for entrepreneurs, for community members, for individuals who are invested in the lives of their neighborhood to partner with the power of Johns Hopkins Medicine, the public health expertise that we bring to this work, the design thinking expertise that we bring to this work. And we're doing it in a unique way. You know, we're a small community hospital, and taking innovation and human-centered design and taking it out of just healthcare delivery and thinking about how can we generate new solutions to community health issues is a unique way for a hospital to partner with residents and businesses on the East End. So rather than pushback, it's been a lot more of an eye-opening experience to how providers can think about community engagement and community partnership.
And when you speak about solutions, should the government play a role in helping to come up with some of these solutions? Can they play a role?
Absolutely. I'd say the government is currently playing a role. One piece of Ward Infinity that was important for us as we launched this program was to ensure that we had government at the table. So we have an advisory council that's comprised of district government leadership, as well as business leaders, policy experts, and community leadership from Ward 7 and 8. And in terms of government, we've got individuals that sit on the highest levels of DC government sitting on our advisory council. And the goal is to provide strategic guidance to our community innovators as they are developing their solutions, but also to ensure that the interventions that are developed and come out of Ward Infinity are not developed in silos, but that they are developed in collaboration with, in partnership, and with awareness of other interventions, resources, programming, et cetera, that's already underway in the district. So that's why it's important that we had that multi-sector collaboration.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight about closing that gap with health disparities in communities of color, specifically in our area. We're addressing Ward 7 and 8, those wards east of the Anacostia River. But also we can talk about beyond D.C., how these disparities affect communities of color, specifically African-American communities. Our guest tonight is Marissa McKeever. She's Director of Government and Community Affairs for Sibley Memorial Hospital, a member of Johns Hopkins Medicine. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Marissa, if folks are listening tonight and they are wondering, you know, what should I do? And you're not a doctor, right? But what should I do if I'm not receiving the proper services? Where should I go? Who should I contact? What approach should I take? What do I do?
Well, there are a lot of options, particularly within individual communities. You could speak to your local ANC. You could speak to your neighborhood health center. Reach out to Sibley. Reach out to me in particular if you need help in figuring out how to navigate the district, how to navigate resources and services. But there, I encourage our listeners to really tap into those local community-based resources that are right in the community and can help you begin to access those services.
And I mentioned, I said, you know, communities of color, but in your experience, are there issues, health issues, that specifically impact African Americans?
There are health issues that specifically impact African Americans from the health equity and health disparity perspective, absolutely. But as we think about, as Sibley thinks about, what is our approach to that, a lot of it is clinical. And I'm not a doctor, so I won't even go down that lane. But from a community perspective, it is about how do we engage the end user. And this is the innovation tool that we use at Sibley in terms of how we deliver our care, how we create a better patient experience. We're taking that same innovation tool, human-centered design, and deploying it with community and speaking to community to learn what else do you need for us to be able to provide the best care that we can at the most convenient time, location, and meeting all of your needs.
What has been your experience of what you've learned from the programs in any community, right, that have worked best? When you look back and say, this is it, this is the one, or these are the ones, any specific that you've seen, whether in this area or outside of the area, that you can say, hey, this is when it's working at its best?
Programs are working at their best when you have community at the table. And a lot of providers, big health systems, learn that the wrong way. And what we've seen at Sibley.
And what do they learn in whatever it is that they go, oh, you know, what is it that they see? And I'll let you, you know, finish your thought there. But
absolutely. So you could very easily come up with a program or a service and spend a lot of money investing in building that program, and community, it doesn't meet community needs. So to have community at the table while you are strategizing, while you are developing what your investment might look like, is absolutely important. And that's the approach that we take at Sibley. It's identifying and going to the end user to make sure that we absolutely are building and investing in work that will in fact have impact in your life and have an impact in the life of your neighbor and in your broader community. So I would say that the biggest thing that I've seen, the biggest difference that I've seen in doing this work for the time that I've been doing it, is absolutely participation from community and seeing community as the expert around how they want to experience their health.
And does that community need to have a point person who knows where to tap into the community to bring those in? Because I think it would be very difficult just to sort of be out there just kind of, you know, finding people who you can bring in and who you can deal with. Do you need those people who are on the ground in communities to work with you?
Absolutely. And by those local on the ground people, that's what I mean by our community-based organizations. They are absolutely critical to anything that Sibley is doing, particularly in Ward 7 and 8. Community-based organizations have long-standing relationships in the community. They know how to tap into the community, and they, in fact, hear and understand the voices from the community. And as Sibley, particularly figuring out how we might invest more in these social determinants, we absolutely need the relationships and partnerships with those local voices, those community-based organizations, to help us do this work.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our issue tonight is health in minority communities. It is National Minority Health Month, and we are talking about disparities that exist. How to close that gap? Is it possible? How quickly can it be done? And some of the issues that communities who are facing those disparities, how they deal with them, and how they can get help. We want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. More of this conversation right after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and this is National Minority Health Month. And when it comes to the state of health in the U.S., it's no secret that African Americans suffer disproportionately from many ailments that are frankly costing lives. Cancer, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, the list goes on and on. And tonight we're talking about that and why those disparities exist in some communities in our area, specifically east of the Anacostia in Wards 7 and 8. We're talking about that tonight with Marissa McKeever. She's Director of Government and Community Affairs for Sibley Memorial Hospital, a member of Johns Hopkins Medicine, and with you out there. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Your questions, your concerns about the care you may be receiving and any disparities you may see in your communities and why they exist. Marissa, talk a little bit about, again, we talked about Ward Infinity, which Sibley is doing, and what are the top priorities of this program, Ward Infinity?
So we're focused right now on three priorities. We've invited our community innovators to partner with us to address food access. They're addressing affordable housing. And how do we use technology to improve health literacy? These are three areas that not only have we heard community talk about, but it's reflected in the data as well. There's the DC Community Health Needs Assessment. DC Health recently released their health systems plan, the health equity report. These three priority areas are absolutely key focus areas for that will drive health equity and advance health equity and address the social determinants of health in communities in Ward 7 and 8. So we've engaged an amazing group of eight individuals who include four teams, and they are working with us through the end of May to design and ideate potential solutions to address these three priority areas. So I'm excited to see them blossom. I'm excited to see where these prototypes might end up at the end of May.
And when we talk about food accessibility, are we talking about healthy eating? Is that more specific?
Absolutely. When we talk about food access, we talk about what are the healthy food options that are available in our community. There's a lot of discussion around, is Ward 7, Ward 8, our food deserts, food swamps as well, you know, having that easy access to the unhealthy options at the tip of your fingers. So food access covers a range of issues. It could also be food insecurity as well. So we have one team in particular that is focused on improving food access and identifying a neighborhood level place-based approach to that issue.
What is food insecurity?
Food insecurity, it focuses on not just is there convenient access in a community to healthy food, but also what are those other socioeconomic barriers to being able to access food options that are available to you? So individuals who don't have the income levels, et cetera, and the access to resources to be able to afford healthy food options.
And how is affordable housing connected to health disparities?
So housing is another issue that as we think about structural barriers and historical issues that have occurred, that plus the impact of gentrification in DC has had a disproportionate impact, particularly on communities of color. As housing prices continue to rise, as the inventory of affordable housing continues to decrease, what is left for community? What is left for Washingtonians who have been here, born and raised here, and need not just that pathway to affordable housing, but our community innovator teams are focused on how do we develop some solutions to create more home ownership as well.
And again, that's sort of branching out. Is it possible that the hospital, you know, sometimes it says, do what you do best, care for people medically. And once you start getting into dealing with housing, can you stretch yourself too far, or is there no way that you can separate those two? Through your research, you see that they go like hand in hand, and it's not sort of a separate issue that sits over there on the shelf?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I think hospitals are being challenged across the nation to think about how do we move beyond clinical care delivery and begin to address these social issues. And for some hospitals, it is a stretch. And for those reasons, we have to partner. We have to have individuals around the table where that's your lane. So Sibley is leading this approach around how to address a public health issue, how to use innovation to approach that public health issue. But in terms of from affordable housing in particular, we need to have our housing experts at the table. And that's why it's important for a multi-sector collaboration to be a part of this social innovation program. We've had considerable impact from having the deputy mayor for planning and economic development sit on our advisory council over the last year, having that connection to government as well as community leadership who understands the issue is key. And so Sibley is not, we're not branching out here on our own, but we know that we need partners at the table. And we're continuing to invite new partners to sit at the table who do have the expertise, who this is in their lane and can think about collectively as thought leaders in this space, how we might approach these issues.
And is all of that and what you've said here in the last few moments part of what's next for Ward Infinity? Is that all of that encapsulated in the next approach?
Absolutely. In terms of what's next for Ward Infinity, we have some prototypes that have been developed from our cohort in last year, as well as prototypes being developed by this year's cohort. We need to see those prototypes piloted, implemented, and scaled in community and evaluated for impact. So right now, we're continuing to look for investment on the back end of this work. Sibley has invested a lot of resources into the design thinking approach that we are providing for our community innovators. But right now, we're also looking to how do we have the right resources around the table to see these prototypes actually implemented in community. So I look forward to being able to come back and share how we have gone down that lane as well.
In your research and your work, is D.C. the district, is it any different than other areas, other urban areas in which you've seen disparities in terms of the health care?
Well, there are definitely some commonalities across the nation when you look at health disparities across urban communities in particular, when you look at the distribution of resources. And when I say resources, I mean job opportunities, I mean schools and education, distribution of healthcare resources, whether you're talking about primary care or specialty care as well. Lots of commonalities between the district and other communities. And so it's important that as a provider in the district, that we're not just having this conversation on the local level, but that we're also thinking about what are other jurisdictions doing across the nation that we can then invite here to D.C. and think about ways to approach this that are new and innovative.
And we can talk about innovation. We can talk about health services, right? But we do know also the cost of health care, right? It's not going down and it's going up. Is that an issue when you're talking about partnering with communities, when you're looking for innovations, when you're looking for new solutions? Is cost always sitting right over there on that shelf, sort of staring at you?
Absolutely. I mean, not only is the cost of healthcare going up, but we've also have to figure out how healthcare is being delivered outside of the hospital. You know, we're spending more and more of our time and energy thinking through how can we make people healthier in their homes? How are we investing in people to create healthier beings outside of the hospital? So when you think about cost of healthcare, that is absolutely will continue to be an issue that we have to face. But it's also thinking about how are we investing in healthy lives at home?
And again, I would assume that challenge is even more so of a issue in African-American communities.
Absolutely. Just thinking about some of those other barriers that we have to experience that we have been experiencing historically. You think about how does an African-American family or how does an African-American family with limited resources begin to prioritize their health care, and what does that actually look like for them? So, you know, at Sibley, part of what we've been doing is thinking about what is our approach to all communities across the district, how we provide care, how we engage with our surrounding community of Sibley might be different than how we engage with other communities in the district. So thinking about the differences between people and populations and engaging users on their level is an absolutely important part of the process.
A lot of information, very useful information. It is National Minority Health Month. It's an important topic, and Marissa McKeever was here to help guide us through the conversation. She is the Director of Government and Community Affairs for Sibley Memorial Hospital, a member of Johns Hopkins Medicine. We thank her so much for talking about the issues that are affecting African-American communities, specifically east of the Anacostia, and the programs that Sibley is doing considerably. We're talking about Ward Infinity. Thank you so much, Ms. McKeever, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The Connection is next. Have a great night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.